Mark chapter 14, and I'll begin reading in verse number 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor, and they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good, but me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the bearing. Together in verse 9. Ready? Verily I say unto you, whether throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Sorry for messing you up there. Ready? We're going to pray, and we're going to ask the Lord's blessing and get into the message. Father, I do pray that you'd help us this morning. Lord, help just in getting the truths of your word out to the people, and then whatever you speak to hearts, and that they'd be receptive to those truths, and then, Lord, understanding just how to apply it to our lives and what we should do because of it. And we ask for your help in these things. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we've been preaching on this series, There is Hope. This is week number 6. This is run along with our spring program. And most likely the last part of this. We've talked about there is hope in different categories. And this morning we'll look at this idea, there is hope for the broken. Now, in my own personal Bible reading, and by the way, that's what we ought to be, as believers, we ought to be reading the Bible. Personally, you ought to be reading the Bible on a regular basis. So in my own personal Bible reading, I'm in the book of Job. I started a first year in Genesis, and I've gotten as far as the book of Job so far, and I've just finished the book of Job. And one of the things that you realize as you read the Bible, and we ought to be reading the Bible again and again, and trying to just acquaint ourselves with it, Brother Littner talked about this morning, about meditating on His Word and getting the Word of God in our hearts and minds. So as you do that, and as you read the Bible more and more, several things happen. One is you begin understanding it more. That's just the reality of it. People have asked me, they say, well, Pastor Ryan, how do you understand the Bible? And my first answer is usually this, you read it. If you're not reading the Bible, you're never going to understand it. There's a lot of books I do not understand. The reason is, I've never read them. I mean, I can go to the library and say, I don't know this book, I don't know this book, I don't know this book. And the reason is, I've never even picked up and read it. Now, I'm not saying you read the Bible one time and you're going to automatically understand all of it, but that begins the process. And so I read the book of Job again, and I don't know how many times I read the book of Job, but I read it this time, and things just kind of say, oh, now I really understand that a little bit better, and learn some things along that way. But the other thing, as you read the Bible, here's the other part of it. You're reminded of things you've learned and kind of gotten away from it. Because maybe it's been a while since you read it before. Read that part of Scripture. And so you read the Bible, and not only do you learn things, but it brings things back to your memory, back to your mind. You think about these things. So we're reminded of truths that we've learned. Now, one of the things, as I was reading the book of Job, one of the things that kind of struck me was this. Job, in all of his brokenness, and there was a lot of brokenness to Job, in all of his brokenness, he believed that if he could somehow draw closer to the Lord, there's hope for him. I'll just read you just a quick passage out of it. So that's one of the things that just kind of struck me, how he was just convinced that the answer wasn't a better job, the answer wasn't getting people to agree with him, the answer was getting closer to the Lord. We see that in Job chapter 23. Here's what he said. Then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Now notice what he says. Oh, that I knew where I might find him. Talking about the Lord. That I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. That's the idea of hope there. He said, if I could just get to the Lord and tell the Lord what's going on in my life, I know he wouldn't be against me. He would put strength in me. He would encourage me. Now, the truth is, as we think about this idea of brokenness, the world is full of broken people. You know that, right? All the people you meet, everyone has some brokenness in them. Sometimes the people you think has all their act together. They got every I dotted, every T crossed. Look, they just look like they have the world by the tail. And some of those people have maybe some of the most severe brokenness in their life. Great hurts and great issues going on. I think that's one of the reasons the Lord instituted what we call this the local church. A church is not a place where we come just to show off. A church is a place where broken people come to find hope. So a church is not a place for us to show our perfection. It's a place to come to find help for our brokenness. And sometimes people say, well, you know, Pastor White, I got too many problems right now. When I get some things in my life taken care of, then I'll start coming to church. Let me tell you, that's just foolishness. You come to church because you got problems. You come to church to get these things taken care of. So we don't come to Christ in our perfection. We come to Christ in our brokenness. Now maybe you've felt broken like Job. Maybe some things have gone on in your life and you just feel like some issue in your life, some area of your life, you just feel like if I could just get to the Lord. And you wondered if there's any hope from God for you. Some years ago, and this would be probably, maybe back in my college days, there was someone preaching, I forget who it was, and I don't really remember much about the sermon, except I remember this. Number one, he was preaching about the feeding of the 5,000. And he used that verse where the Bible says he blessed the bread, and he broke it, and he distributed among the 5,000. And in that message, he made this statement. I'll tell you, I can't tell you much more about that message. I remember this statement. He said this, God blesses when he breaks. Now, that is the reality of life. There is this idea of brokenness, but there's also this idea that God does bless. There is hope in the Lord. And I believe that even in our brokenness, even in our hurting, even in, when we feel like things are topsy-turvy and upside down, backwards, and not right in our life, even in some of our most severe brokenness, I believe there's an opportunity to see God work in our lives. Now, this morning I'm going to share four things with you. Four things about this idea about being hope in our brokenness. I want you to follow me because each one builds on the next. And we're going to look at this account that the Lord gives in Mark chapter 14. He also gives it to us in Matthew and also in the book of John. We'll maybe refer just briefly to those. But particularly, we're going to look at this account here in Mark chapter 14. Four things I want you to notice. The first thing is this morning. Number one is this. God allows brokenness in order to release the treasure within. Now go back with me, if you will, back to Mark 14. Look at verse 3. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. Now I don't know about you, but a lot of times when I would read that and picture it, I picture that she had some type of box and maybe just... First of all, she's broken. I was thinking, did she hit his head? I mean, how did she break this? And if she broke it, why wouldn't it all just pour out? How could she scoop it and put it on his head? Well, that's kind of just as briefly looking at it. But the idea is it's some type of pot, some type of vessel. He calls it a box. It just means a vessel. And it was sealed. Usually a lot of times they would put the spikenard, the precious ointment inside of it, and they would put a lid on it, and then they would seal it with wax so nothing could come out. And the idea of break it means that she had to break that wax seal in order to pour out what was within. And so the only way that perfume could come out, that it would come without, the seal had to be broken. If the seal stayed intact, now there's a vessel here, there's great perfume inside, there's something very wonderful inside, but if the seal did not break, nothing could come out. There had to be a brokenness for that which was inside to come out. And the same thing I think is true in our life. Let me share this verse, maybe understand a little bit better. 2 Corinthians, here's what the Bible says. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 7. But we have this treasure. He's talking about the Lord. He's talking about the gospel. He's talking about what the Lord has done, His grace. He says, we have this treasure, notice, in earthen vessels. That's us. We're an earthen vessel. Very delicate, very easy to break. But he said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So the Bible says, in each of us, I'm specifically talking about believers here, in each of us we have this great treasure within us. And now the Bible tells us that God gives us opportunities and abilities to be used of God to bless other people, maybe to witness to people, maybe to encourage people, maybe to bless people. God says, I've given you a treasure inside of you. You can be a blessing to people. You can be a help to people. You can be an encouragement to people. But the problem is, the treasure stays within. We don't want to be broken. We don't want that seal to be broken. We don't want to pour out what's within us. We say, I don't want to go through that broken process. I want to maybe be used, maybe I want to be a blessing, but I don't want to be a broken person. And what I'm telling you this morning is, that which God has put in us cannot get out of us unless there's a breaking process that happens. Just like that vessel had this great perfume in it, but it stayed within it, but she had to break that seal in order to pour it out on Jesus' head. And in the book of John, it talks about His feet as well. Now let's shift a little bit here. Often this treasure the Lord has, this blessing, this opportunity, the gifts He gives us, they're sealed within us and they're never used. There's some believers who have this treasure who could be used, who could be a blessing, who could be an encouragement, but they go through their entire life and they never do anything for the Lord. It's not that they can't. It's not that they don't have something to be used. Some people say, well, I just can't do anything for the Lord. That is not a true statement. If you're a born-again believer, the Holy Spirit is within you. He's given gifts within you. He's given talents within you. There's a treasure within you that you can be used. But it's sealed up inside of us. It never comes out. So what seals it up? Primarily, what seals us is our own selfishness. We're self-focused. We're self-absorbed. This our world is maybe this little circle we draw around us, and everything's about me. Too selfish to be used for others. We stay sealed up and we never get poured out, never broken, never used. Sometimes when we think about this idea of being broken, we get angry with the Lord. We may say something like this. Why does God have to break me? Why doesn't God just use me? Why do I have to go through this broken process? Why does there have to be pain in my life? Why does there have to be problems in my life? But I think the Lord asks the same question. I don't think He's mad, but I think He says it very tenderly. Why do you have to be broken? Why are we so selfish? Why are we so self-absorbed? Why is it that we just live to ourselves? I think God says, why is it that you're sealed and you will not pull out of yourself? Why do you hold this treasure I've given you? You know, hold it within you and there's nothing coming out. Why do I have to break you in order to get this treasure out of you? The question this morning is, why are we so caught up in our own world? Now, I'm talking about believers here. We're caught up in our own world. Why are we so self-focus, so much self-focus and so little God-focus in our life? I think that's one of the reasons that people don't get saved. Because they're focused on self. You know this? That Jesus came down and died, gave His life, shed His blood, so that every single person could be saved. And many people hear the gospel message and they say, I don't got time for Jesus. I don't want to turn from my sins. I love my sins. I want to hold on to my sins. I don't want to turn and come to Jesus. I don't want to think about this idea of having to follow Him or live for Him. And they get so caught up in themselves, they will not come to Christ. Isn't that a sad thing? There's some people on their way to hell because they love their sin more than the Savior. Now that's sad for the lost, but I think it's even more sad for the saved, because you have experienced this salvation. You have experienced His love. But there's still this selfishness. We're sealed into ourselves. We live for ourselves. There is a great treasure inside of you. God has given you gifts. God has given you abilities, but it stays inside of you. You're sealed by your selfishness and your self-focus, and everything's about, it's about your job, your health, your life, your house, your car, your vacation, your fun, your pleasure. It's all about you. And our selfishness seals God's treasure within us. So I say, number one, God allows brokenness in order to release the treasure within. And then I want you to notice number two. We'll build on that and give you the second application, which is this. God allows brokenness so others can be blessed. In John chapter 12, where the Lord is talking about this same event, he says this, "Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus." So it seems like she started with his head and then moved down to his feet. "And wiped his feet with her hair." Then notice this, "and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment." The Bible tells us that everyone in this house was affected by the breaking of that box. When she began to anoint Jesus, that odor filled the whole room. Everyone begins smelling. Everyone's affected by it. Everyone in that room is getting a blessing from what she's doing. And so I tell you this morning, that broken vessels provide blessings to others. That's one of the reasons that we have to go through a broken process so that we can be a blessing to others. Brokenness provides opportunities to bless people in ways you can never without the brokenness. There's certain things that have to happen in your life so you can be a blessing to others. And it is kind of selfish for us to say this, "Lord, I don't ever want to be broken. I don't ever want to have a heartache. I never wanted anything in my life to ever to be hard, because I don't want to deal with that." But yet we have to go through those things sometimes in order so that we can be a blessing to others. That's just part of the way life is. Let me show you what I mean by way of a scripture here. 2 Corinthians 1 says this, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Now look at verse 4. Notice what he says here. "Who comforteth" what? "Us in all our tribulation." So we go through a brokenness. We go through some issue. Maybe it's a health problem. Maybe our finances went down the drain. Maybe we just got laid off from our job. Maybe there's an issue in our family. Maybe a wayward child, or maybe a problem with a spouse. Or it could be all kinds. It could be maybe our car's broke down. It could be all kinds of different problems you go through. And you're frustrated, and you say, "Lord, why did you allow that?" I'm not saying God causes these things, but God allows it. He didn't stop it from happening. He allowed this to come in your life. Why? So the Bible says in verse 4, "Who comforteth us in all our tribulation." God allowed a broken thing to happen in your life and then provides comfort for you. Why? "That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble." Now, how do we comfort them? How do we comfort these other people? Notice this, "by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." God is saying this, "I'm going to allow some things." Look at me. Can God stop all things from happening if He wanted to? If I found out I had cancer, could I not rightfully say, "God, you could have prevented this. Couldn't God prevent me from having cancer?" But does God sometimes allow us to have some type of disease like this? And so we can get mad at God and say, "God, this isn't right. You shouldn't allow this in my life. I don't like this." But what God is saying is, not that He's causing it, not that He doesn't care about it, but God sometimes says, "Okay, I could stop this, but I'm not going to stop it. I'm going to allow this to come in your life. And when it comes in your life and you turn to Me and I comfort you, then I want you to take that comfort and find someone else and share it with them." Now let me tell you, sometimes the greatest comfort comes from people who've gone through what you've gone through. I think everyone can, to some extent, comfort other people. But how much more is it when they've gone through it? And they can say this, "Here's what God did for me. Here's how God helped me. Here's how God encouraged me." And that gives them hope. And what God is saying is this, "I'm bringing some things in your life, a broken thing in your life, so that you'll get comfort from me, and then you'll take this comfort and share it with others." And so God breaks us. God allows brokenness so others can be blessed. I'll give you an example of what I mean, maybe a little more clearly. My wife and I was over at Joe Newhouse's house yesterday. We're working on the the next Sunday, Sunshine Sunday. We've met a couple different times, going over plans and details and plannings. And we've said this, my wife and I have said this often. We, you know, because of Lori and Bobby, we, long time ago, wanted to start a kind of like what we have, a Sunshine ministry, a special needs ministry. But you need a unique person to lead it. It's not just simply about giving a lesson. It's not simply about doing a craft. It's someone who has a heart and understands them and understands the parents and understands the workers. Joan Newhouse understands. You know why she understands? She's been broken. She went through it. She has Josh. She has Billy or her other son. She has gone through a brokenness in her own life. And now she, instead of sitting around and feeling sorry for herself and shaking her fist at God and saying, God, why did you do this? That's not what she's doing. She has received comfort from God. And now you know what she's doing? She's being great comfort to a lot of other people. God allows a brokenness in your life and then gives you comfort so that you can take that comfort and be a blessing to others. So God allows this to happen. Now, watch what I'm about to say. Not everyone will see it that way. Go back with me to Mark 14. And look with me in verse 4. And notice the response of these people. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, now watch this, why was this waste of the ointment made? Now, here's someone who's being broken, who's been a blessing. She's anointing the Lord. And you have others, fellow believers, who are criticizing her. They don't see it this way. There's some who believe it's a waste to serve God in your brokenness. It's a waste to seek to be a blessing. Now, here's what they'll tell you. When you're going through a hard day, they'll say, why do you even go to church anymore? Why do you even read your Bible? Why are you praying? You ought to just give up on all of that stuff. It didn't work for you. Look, you got this problem. You got this heartache. You got this issue. They'll tell you it's a waste to do these things. It's a waste to try to serve God in your brokenness. But I tell you this morning, the worst part of any brokenness would be to never use it in a positive way to bless others. The worst thing that can happen is if God allows a brokenness in your life and then you never use it. You just hold on to it and you feel sorry for yourself and all your life, all you do is go through and say, oh, here's my brokenness, and you never use it to be a blessing. What a waste of an opportunity. Can I tell you this? Whatever you're going through, whatever issue you may feel is just really just tearing you up, there are other people going through it that you could be a blessing and encouragement to if you let the Lord comfort you in your brokenness. And so the Bible tells us that God allows brokenness so others can be blessed through us. And then let's move quickly, number 3. Here's the third thing I want you to notice about this idea of brokenness. And that is this: God allows brokenness so Jesus is glorified in your life. Go back to Mark 14. Look at verse 6 again. Notice what it says. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work. Now notice the last two words. What are they? On me. The focus of this blessing was on Christ. Christ is being glorified in this. Now listen to this statement. Listen carefully. I want you to think. Just for a moment. Maybe some things you've gone through, some hardships you've gone through, some heartaches you've gone through, some things the Lord has allowed in your life that you don't like. You don't feel it's right. You don't feel it's fair. You're upset about it. You don't agree with it. You're mad at God about it. You'd say, this shouldn't have happened. Why would God do this? Now listen. If only Jesus is glorified and no one else is blessed, it is still worth being broken. Let me tell you something that's completely not PC. This is not politically correct in any way, shape, or form. This is something that believers themselves reject. They do not like what I'm about to say. But it's true. Ready? Your comfort is not as important as God's glory. Hear what I said? Your comfort is not as important as God's glory. One of the reasons that we have a hard time with brokenness is this. Goes back to this idea of selfishness. We still think it's about us. Can I tell you, You say, well, this ain't right. God shouldn't allow this. I don't like what God is doing. Let me speak to you as a believer. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Do you have a home in heaven? God has given you more than you ever deserve. Why would we shake our fist and be mad at Him? Say, well, I don't like this problem. Could it be that your Savior could be glorified in your life through this problem? Why do we resist it? Let me tell you, if you go to a lost person and you say, you moved on the other side of me. You go to a lost person, you say to them, well, I got $1 million in the bank, I got 5 cars in the parking lot, I got a house worth $3 million. Man, I retired out when I was 30 years old, been traveling the world. Boy, I got a clean bill of health, I got a perfect wife, 10 perfect kids. Boy, life is sublime. You know, they can't associate with that. But if you say this, you know, I've got, and not that you're glorying in your heartache, but in discussion it comes out, here's been a brokenness, here's been a heartache, and here's what the Lord has done. You know who it elevates? Not you, it elevates the Lord. And sometimes the Lord brings us through brokenness so that we can be a better testimony for Him, so He can be glorified, so He can be lifted up. And I told you that is not a PC statement. Your comfort is not as important as God's glory. Let me give you this one. Not very PC either. People dying and going to hell is more important than our health and our bills and our relationships. That's not how we look at it. It always goes back to us. And we want our health to be good, our bills to be paid. We don't want to have any problems in life. And then we say, but Lord, help me be a good soul winner. But sometimes it takes brokenness so that we can be the soul winner the Lord wants us to be. I asked you this morning, what was necessary for your salvation? I'll tell you what happened. Christ had to be broken and poured out on Calvary. Wasn't that true? Could you be saved this morning if Jesus had not died for you? No. And He didn't simply die. He didn't simply swoon. He didn't simply get old and pass away. He went through a very brutal death. A very brutal death. Bled, beaten, flesh ripped off. Jesus Christ was broken and poured out on Calvary, was He not? Why do we as believers think that we don't have to be? I'm telling you, if you're going to live for the Lord, serve the Lord, so must Christians, so must Christians be broken and poured out. So why does God allow brokenness? Where's the hope? I'm telling you, number one, there's a hope because when we're broken, the treasure comes out. Where's the hope at? Because brokenness allows us to be a blessing to others. Where is the hope at? Because a brokenness allows us to glorify God in our lives. Then I gave you the fourth thing. And this may be the one that applies to you this morning. God allows brokenness so we will draw close to Christ. When you think about this perfume in the bottle, it wasn't simply that she put it in a dish like potpourri or something and set it up on the mantle so it would fill the room. That's not what she did. It had to be applied directly to the Lord, His head and His feet. In other words, she had to get close to Him. It had this thing that was being poured out had to be applied directly to Christ, a very close relationship here. And we think about this God allowing brokenness. I'm not saying that God very flippantly or capriciously just allows. I'm not saying God is just saying, yeah, whatever. I don't care about him. Just let that. I think anything that comes into your life that is hurtful or difficult, I think the Lord only does it by purpose and design, never flippantly. I don't think the Lord just looks at it and says, yeah, whatever. I think the Lord cares about it. He loves us. He's concerned about us. And when the Lord allows these things, I think the Lord is very careful about allowing the right thing in the right measure at the right time at the right place. Don't believe He's flipping about it. I believe God allows this brokenness and this hurt, these heartaches on purpose and design. Let me give you an illustration, maybe help you understand this part. It's an old illustration. You've probably heard it before. Back in Bible days, this would be very familiar to them, and I think a lot of these things are understood if we understand the context of the Bible times. Back in Bible days, He had a lot of shepherds. Shepherds had what? Sheep. And sheep have a tendency, sometimes they'll stick around the shepherd, but you always have a sheep here or there who kind of just wants to go do their own thing. Kind of like Christians. And so you have these sheep who kind of want to do their own thing. Now, the danger is this. When the sheep gets away from the shepherd, the sheep's in danger. There's wolves, there's bears, there's lions out there. And so the shepherd is always watching the sheep, always careful where the sheep are, always keeping them close to him so he can guard and protect them, always putting them in the right pasture, putting them around good water. He's always taking care of them. But there's always some sheep that wants to kind of just wander off and do its own thing. Do you know what the shepherd does? He goes, gets it. Brings it back. And then a bit later, the sheep wanders off again. And he goes, gets it, and he brings it back. And the sheep wanders off again. He goes, gets it, and brings it back. But eventually, the shepherd says, this can't keep happening. Okay? I got other sheep to take care of. And also, one of these days, I'm not going to get you in time, and something's going to happen to you. So the shepherd would take that sheep. After many times trying to keep it in the fold, he'd take that sheep, reach over, grab its leg, and go like this. Snap. Think the sheep liked it? No. Yelling, screaming. By shaking his little fist at the shepherd. Hate you, shepherd. Dare you to do this to me. But here's what happened next. The problem is this. The sheep now can't go anywhere. That particular sheep. The other sheep would leave it behind. It won't wander away, but it won't go anywhere. It's just laying there. But the shepherd still cares about it. So he picks the sheep up, puts it around his neck. When they walk to the pasture, he carries it to the pasture, puts it down, lets it eat. When they walk by the creek, he picks it up on his neck, carries it over the creek, puts it down. Here's what happens. That sheep becomes connected to that shepherd. He begins building a relationship. Everything about this sheep is connected to the shepherd. He's thinking about, if I'm eating, the shepherd's involved. If I'm drinking, the shepherd's involved. If I'm leaving, going out, the shepherd's involved. If I'm coming back, the shepherd's involved. It's all about the shepherd. Now, this sheep would be completely dependent on the shepherd. And by the time the bone became solid, now listen to this, by the time the bone became solid, so would the relationship. And sometimes the Lord brings brokenness in our life so that we will draw closer to Him. Now, I'm not saying this flippantly. Because I'm not saying, well, it just doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what's going. It doesn't matter the hurt. I'm not trying to be flippant that way. But I'm trying to help you understand from the Lord's perspective. Sometimes the Lord allows a brokenness in your life because that's the only way He can get you to stay close to Him. And He will do that. Say, but why would He do that? Because the greatest good in the universe is the Lord. And He knows that's what you need in your life. He will draw you to Himself. He doesn't want you wandering away. He doesn't want you wandering in sin. He doesn't want you wandering in the world. He doesn't want you living to yourself. And He's gracious. He may let you go a little bit further and drag you back. And He'll drag you back. But eventually He's going to say, that's enough of it. I'm done with it. I'm snapping that leg and you've got to be near me. And that's exactly what the Lord does sometimes. And I can't tell you everything. Every time there's a brokenness in your life is because there's some sin in your life. But I tell you this, the Lord uses brokenness to draw us close and to build a relationship. We sang this song this morning, this part of the song. It goes like this. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Isn't that true? You know that's true about us. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Now I want you to think about this morning. I'm getting to the end now. Now, I want you to listen to this statement. None of us are as good as we think we are. No matter how much you say, well, you know, so-and-so needs this message. Well, so-and-so may, but you might be surprised. You might need it too. None of us are as good as we think we are. All of us are way too focused on self. Now, I don't know why God allows specific brokenness into your life. I don't know. But we have to look beyond ourselves. We have to quit saying, well, But why is this in my life? Why? We got to say, okay, Lord, I don't know why you allowed this, but I'm going to let this happen. I'm going to let this be used to bring glory to you. I'm going to let this be used to be a blessing to others. I'm going to let this be used to serve you, to draw close to you. We have to allow God to use that earthen vessel, this earthen treasure within us, so we can be a blessing to others and glorify our Savior. Now, we talked about this hope. One last thing, and we're done. We talked about this hope. Now, as a young Christian, you look at your life way down the road and you think, boy, I hope this doesn't ever happen. I hope that doesn't ever happen. And then you go through life and, you know, life happens and problems come in and things happen you never thought would happen. Hurts come into your life and there's a breaking in different areas of your life. And you have a choice. You sit there and shake your fist at God. You sit there and get mad and say, this isn't right and I don't like this. Or we can say, Lord, I don't know why this happened. I don't know why you allowed this. But Lord, I'm going to be a blessing to others. I'm going to be an encouragement to others. I guarantee you this, whatever you're going through this morning, whatever problem is hurting you, whatever brokenness is happening, I guarantee you look around this room and someone else is going through it. And whatever is going on in your life, God can use it in your life to be a blessing to others. Or it could be this morning, maybe God's going to use it to draw you closer to Himself. Maybe the truth of the matter is this, maybe you're that sheep who keeps wandering away. Maybe you're that sheep that God has grabbed and brought back and grabbed and brought back. Maybe finally God said, that's enough. I snapped that leg, put you on His shoulder, and said, you're going to stay close to me this time. Now, I don't know all why God does what He does. But I know this, that He allows brokenness in order to release the treasure within. He allows that brokenness so others can be blessed. He allows that brokenness so Jesus is glorified in our life. And He allows that brokenness so we'll draw closer to Him. I think this morning we ought to just say, Lord, this is the issue. This is the hurt. This is the pain. And now, Lord, I'm bringing it to You. I don't want to hold on to it. I'm bringing it to You, Lord. I'm seeking help in these things.